Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back and bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the Week Junior Show. We have another fun-packed episode for you this week. We're going to be talking about ways to stop worrying, finding out who won at the British Book Awards, and having an unusual debate about whether grey squirrels should be on menus. So, to tell us all about these stories and more, we are joined by two of the team from the Week Junior magazine. We've got Deputy Editor Rahul and Senior Editor Felicity. And before we start the show, it's time for our question of the week. Now, because later on we'll be talking about exams at school, I want to know what everybody's favourite subject was. I'll go first. It was a real tricky one for me. It was between history and English, but I'm going to put it out there. I think English was my favourite because I love creative writing. That was the one that I think I'm going to go for that one. Rahul, how about you?
Bex, you've stolen my thunder. English and history for me too, I think. It's tricky for me to decide. English, obviously, because I love reading and writing and arguing. But history was a lot of fun in secondary school too, mainly because if we could distract our history teacher, shout out Mr. Brown, if we could get him off topic, we'd spend the whole lesson having a chat and a discussion and not have to do any actual work. So, yeah, fond memories of that one.
Oh my goodness, it's always good when you can do that with a teacher, isn't it? See how far you can get the clock into the hour. Felicity, how about you?
Mine would be Spanish. Ah. I loved learning Spanish. It's such a nice language, and it was really nice when you could sort of put it into practice. You know, when you sort of learnt something and then you could go away and actually put it into practice and use it, and it kind of works, and you're like, oh, people understand what I'm saying. And we similarly had two amazing Spanish teachers, and as long as we spoke in Spanish, we could basically do whatever we wanted. So we would, and they really liked to gossip. So we could have just really like sessions of gossiping in Spanish about what was going on in school and gossiping about the other teachers and what was happening in the staff room. So Spanish.
Wow, I love that. That is a great reason to learn Spanish. Excellent. So let's go on to the cover story of the Week Junior this week. Who can tell me a little bit more about it?
That's going to be me, Bex. So our cover this week is a really bright cover of a young person looking up with the cover line, I like me. And the young person has got lots of thought bubbles coming out of their heads with things like, I'm a kind person and I try really hard in the thought bubbles. And this cover is related to our wellbeing page. And this issue's wellbeing page is a story about how to let go of worrying what other people think about you. So it's a really nice feature. And the first thing to say about it is that it's really common and normal for people to worry about what other people are thinking about you, particularly when you're going to be the center of attention. So, for example, when you might be doing a presentation in class or performing on stage or taking part in sports. The thing is, though, if you're worrying about what other people think about you, it can be quite distracting, and it can stop you from being yourself. The feature also has some great tips from a reader, Kay, and one of her tips is when she feels worried about what people are thinking about her, she likes to visualize that worry and give it a color and then turn that color into a ball. So let's say the color is red. You think about it as a red ball, and then she throws that red ball as far away as possible, and that really helps her get rid of those worries about what people are thinking about her. So thank you, Kay, for sharing those techniques with the Week Junior.
I've never heard of that before. That's really interesting. Okay, I might try that in future. Thank you very much, Kay. Really, really useful tips there as well. Thanks, Rahul. And now it's time for our real or rubbish story. I'm going to hear a story. I have to guess whether it's true or false. And I believe, Felicity, it's your turn this week to try and trick me. Is that right?
That's right. So every night in a little village in France, the residents are awoken to the beautiful lyrical sound of three loud frogs. It's a little froggy choir who live in the back of a 92-year-old lady called Colette Ferry in her garden pond. And the residents just love this beautiful, beautiful noise from the frogs. They love it so much that they come and knock on her door, hoping to get a front row seat.
I thought you meant the frogs for a minute there.
And during the day, the frogs are an absolute delight. They like to frolic around and play with the fish. So this is the story that three loud frogs are making the residents of a small little French village very, very happy with their lyrical sounds.
Now, this frog chorus intrigues me because I feel like if I could hear frogs from my house, I don't think I'd be too happy about it. If they were being really loud at night, I don't know whether I would be thrilled. I don't know whether I'd be knocking on the door. I think I'd be going down to the pond and telling them to be quiet. I feel like, I mean, I'm in my head, I'm thinking, is it like a loud ribbit or a croak? Are we going ribbit? Or are we going rawr? That's my frog impression. Did you appreciate that?
Very much so.
I feel like if we heard that, but 10 times louder and from a frog, I wouldn't be happy about it.
But if you're not used to hearing like the beautiful sounds of the natural world, do you not think it would sort of be a really intriguing, I don't know, if your neighbour had really cool frogs, would you not want to go and hang out with them?
The neighbour, yes, the frogs less so. I think I'd see the frogs and be like, cool, good for you guys. But shh, some of us have got to sleep, please. I don't know. I know there's only three of them, but three of them are making such loud noises that everybody can hear them.
Yeah, like a beautiful, beautiful froggy choir.
See, there's something about this that doesn't work for me, and I'm trying to figure out what it is exactly, and I can't figure it out. Maybe either it's one frog being really loud, or it's like loads of frogs being really loud. Three just seems like a weird number, and also, yeah, honestly, if my neighbour had a loud frog, I don't think I'd be thrilled. I don't think I'd be taking a chair down and watching the frogs on their lily pads. I'll have a think about it, but I don't know about that one. While we're having a think about frogs and ribbits, it's time for our book of the week. And this week it's called We've Got This. We're talking about a very important life skill called empathy, which is the power to share someone else's feelings. So We've Got This has been written in partnership with a group called Empathy Lab. And it's a handbook featuring six simple steps to boost your empathy skills. We've also got a message from the author, Rashmi Serdeshpandey.
Hi there, listeners of the Week Junior Show. My name is Rashmi Serdeshpandey, author of We've Got This, Six Steps to Build Your Empathy Superpower, which has been selected as Book of the Week in the current issue of the magazine. And I'm here to answer a very important and possibly spectacularly unfair question. What was my favourite children's magazine growing up? Now, Week Junior, I love you, but you weren't around when I was little because I'm that ancient. Or maybe you were and I didn't know, who knows. But if you had been in my life, I would have picked you, of course. But because you weren't, I'm going to pick the National Geographic magazines. I mean, wow, they were awesome. Just being able to travel the world through those pages, have a little glimpse at how incredible this planet of ours and all the life on it is. I remember being wowed by that from the very beginning, and I still think it's amazing and it takes my breath away. So that was one of the things I really loved growing up.
All right, of course, you don't have to be an author to send us a message. If you want to get in touch, you can. There's loads of ways. You can email us hello@theweekjunior.co.uk, or you could leave us a voice note at funkidslive.com/theweekjunior. Just look for that big red button, grab a grown-up and record your voice. We've had quite a lot in the inbox this week. Rahul, what have you found?
We've had a message from 10-year-old Reese, who's been eagle-eyed when he was in the airport and spotted the manager of the Republic of Ireland's football team, Stephen Kenny, who he then approached and asked him to sign his copy of the Week Junior.
I love that so much. I also love how happy Reese looks, that big smile on his face. Oh my goodness, he's absolutely grinning from ear to ear. Felicity, what have you found in the inbox this week?
So on last week's how-to page, we had instructions for making a paper floating lotus flower. And one of our readers, Katie, sent in a message to say she liked the look of them so much, she decided to make them immediately. And I'm just looking at the photo now. She's done a really good job. It looks fantastic. It's pale pink. And it looks almost like a real lotus. So well done, Katie.
Really does. It looks beautiful. Thank you so much for that, guys. Now it's time for our two top stories of the week. Rahul, what was your must read in the mag this week?
So my must read in the mag this week is about the British Book Awards, which took place on the 15th of May. And these awards celebrate the best books in Britain in the last year or so. It's a big glamorous ceremony, and the awards are also known as the Nibbies because they're sort of nicknamed after the nib of a pen. And as our readers all know, we're huge fans of reading at the Week Junior. We have a Summer of Reading campaign every summer. And the Week Junior partnered with two of the categories. And those two categories were the Children's Fiction Book of the Year Award, which was won by an author called SF Saeed for his book Tiger, which is about two young people who make friends with a magical tiger. And the second book category that the Week Junior partnered with is Children's Nonfiction Book of the Year Award. And that was won by Dr. Alex George's book, A Better Day. And that is a book about taking care of your mental health. Another of the books that won the award was Children's Illustrated Book of the Year. And that was won by Harry Woodgate for a beautiful book called Granddad's Camper. Harry is a judge on the Week Junior's Book Awards, which will be taking place for the first time in October. And our readers should keep their eyes and ears peeled because the shortlist for that is being announced next week. And we'll have details of the shortlist for the Week Junior Book Awards in the next issue of the magazine.
Which I'm very excited about because I'm also a judge. So I get to see the shortlist as well. I can't wait. Very good. I also have got to say I've read Dr. Alex George's book and I did love that one as well. So a well-deserved winner, I would say. Now, Felicity, how about you? What's been going on in the magazine for you this week?
Yeah, so I'm looking at the main story on UK News, and this is about a big argument that's broken out in the education world over SATs tests, which were taken by year six pupils in May. And they stand for standard assessment tests. And the problem is that loads of children have been left in tears and feeling really anxious because they've been just so difficult that they've just been found them impossible to do. So SATs are tests for pupils in England in years two and six, and they test your reading and your writing and your math skills. And I'm sure lots of readers who are listening have had to do them. But it's not just the pupils who said they were too difficult. So teachers and parents have also said they were just way too hard. And that even some staff had been struggling to understand the questions. So it's so hard that even adults can't make head or tail of it. And the government has said, first of all, they said, well, you know, tests have to be challenging. They have to be hard. That's how we test you. But because so many people have complained and said it was too much, Nick Gibb, who is the government minister in charge of schools, he said he's going to review the paper, have a look, and see whether it was too difficult and whether, you know, they should be made a little bit more manageable and a little bit more doable, because, you know, it's not great if you've got kids who it's really affecting their mental health and making them anxious and it's too difficult for them. I think some kids said they were okay and that they didn't struggle with them, but it seems it's been such a big story, you know, in all the newspapers that it seems like there was definitely something going on this year.
Yeah, it sounds like clearly it was a little bit more of a stressful year than usual. Rahul, what do you think about this?
Yeah, there's a lot of chat in the office about this story, and I guess it taps into a wider question as to whether we think exams are the best way of testing pupils. Because obviously it puts a lot of pressure on this sort of one particular day or this 45-minute test. And for example, in Scotland, they don't do exams or tests in primary school. They do continuous assessment. So you're assessed throughout the year. So it doesn't all boil down to this one day and this one test and how you perform on that. So I think there's definitely food for thought, and there are perhaps other ways that, you know, children can be tested in terms of how they're getting on with their reading or numeracy.
I hadn't realised that. That's a really good idea. Okay, thanks for that. So So now it's time for the big debate. And this week, it's pretty controversial. Should grey squirrels be on menus? Now, this is an interesting one. So wildlife campaigners say that eating grey squirrels could be good for the planet and the endangered red squirrel. So red squirrels have lived in the UK for around 10,000 years. And when the larger grey squirrel arrived from North America in the late 19th century, red squirrels were forced out of many areas and their population dropped dramatically. A wildlife campaign group, the Exmoor Squirrel Project, is talking to restaurants about putting the grey squirrel meat on their menus. And chefs say that grey squirrels taste a bit like rabbit, and it was eaten in the UK until the middle of the 20th century. So that's this week's big debate. Should grey squirrels be on menus? I'm finding it very difficult to say the word squirrels for some reason. So hopefully I don't have to say it many more times. This week, it's going to be Felicity versus Rahul. Of course, as usual, you know the deal. It's 60 seconds each. I'm going to get a little timer here just in case. And Felicity is going to go first. She's going to say why grey squirrels, oh my goodness, should be on menus. So Felicity, when you're ready, go for it.
I don't think I'm going to be very popular when I argue this, but I will say that I think we have a bit of an odd relationship when it comes to animals that we can eat and animals that we're very squeamish about eating. And sometimes it seems a bit random as to the ones that we're happy to eat and the ones that we're not. So I sort of feel like if you eat meat, then why would you not eat squirrels? Because it's probably way more environmentally friendly than a lot of the kind of industrial farmed food that we get from farmed meat that we get from the supermarket. I've never tried it, but apparently it's quite delicious. Tastes a little bit nutty and a bit like rabbit, if you've ever eaten rabbit. And lots of people eat rabbit and all sorts of things around the world, rabbits and guinea pigs and pigeons. So why not squirrel? Also, I've never seen a red squirrel, I don't think, which seems like a massive shame. And it's because of these bullies, the grey squirrels. So if we're going to cull grey squirrels anyway, then we might as well eat them.
Well, an interesting argument there. I have had pigeon, actually, so I can't be too sniffy about this, I suppose. So Rahul, it's your turn to disagree with Felicity. Whenever you're ready, take it away.
Grey squirrels should definitely not be on the menu. As I understand it, they've got a strong, slightly weird taste, plus they're tricky to cook, so if they're not really going to be eaten, what's the point? Secondly, we're talking about grey squirrels in the wild, right? And they've got to be caught. So they're going to need to be trapped and killed, which seems quite inhumane and a cruel way to be treating wild animals. Finally, surely there's better ways of controlling the grey squirrel population. We could think about restoring the population of pine martens, which are a natural predator of grey squirrels. But weirdly, they look a bit like squirrels. Mm-hmm. And finally, just for extra measure, grey squirrels are cute, right?
Oh, yeah, they are. You're right. You know what? Both were very good arguments there, guys. I thought I was going to be like, no, I disagree entirely. And then I agreed with Felicity. And then I agreed with Rahul. I really don't know here. So if you've got an opinion on this, well, that's pretty handy for us. You can tell us right now by going to theweekjunior.co.uk/polls and voting. And of course, you can also comment or your opinion wherever it is you listen to the podcast, or record a voice note at funkidslive.com/theweekjunior. Just hit that big red button and let us know your thoughts. Last week, we asked our readers and listeners if cats should be kept indoors at nighttime to protect wildlife and themselves. Rahul, what were the results?
The results were that 55% of our readers that voted believed that cats should be in lockdown at night.
Genuinely, I'm quite surprised by that. It's very close, isn't it? Felicity, was there anything in the inbox?
Yep, loads of comments. One person said, cats shouldn't be kept inside because they can wear bells on a collar to give birds a warning. Mm-hmm. And another one, I like to keep my cat safe at night. I don't want him to bring animals into the house. He never goes out at night, so he doesn't know any different. And finally, cats are animals. Animals should be able to go out if this is their natural instinct. And furthermore, cats are mostly independent animals, which is a good point.
Very good point. We should also say that somebody sent in a picture of their cats as well. Phoebe and Ziggy, who say no. There's a picture of them next to the argument on the debate page on the Week Junior magazine. Apparently they love sleeping inside during the day, but nighttime is when they play outside. So good to hear from Phoebe and Ziggy as well. They're probably the most important people or cats who are part of this debate, I suppose. Now, before we go, it's time for our real or rubbish reveal. Felicity, can you remind me what the story was, please?
I can. This is the story of Colette Ferry, who's the 92-year-old lady who lives in a village in France. And in the pond in her back garden are three very loud frogs. And at nighttime, they like to sing their froggy sounds. And the residents absolutely adore them and want to come over and pull up a seat and listen to the froggy nighttime chorus because it's so good.
I've got to say, so I think this story is true in that it's happening, but I think people are not happy about it. I think they're not pulling up seats. I think they're pulling up covers to try and like get the frogs out of there or make that pond a little quieter. So I'm going to say the story this week is rubbish. That is my decision.
It is rubbish.
Yes.
So, Bex, you were right. I did not do a very good job of trying to convince people there, clearly. The residents have actually found the frogs so noisy and annoying that they've reported them to the police. And rather sadly, they've now been removed from the pond. But fingers crossed that they're okay and living their best life somewhere else in a nice little brook somewhere.
Hey, look, I'm just saying it because I know that any loud noises at night, people get pretty annoyed about, don't they? And even if it is the natural sounds of nature. Sorry, frogs. Off you hop. Right, that is it for this episode of the Week Junior Show. Big thank you to Rahul and to Felicity. And of course, don't forget to rate, review and subscribe or follow us wherever it is you get your podcasts. You can tune in to next week's show where we'll be joined by new guests from the team for more stories, debates and chat. See you then. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this podcast, which is made by the same people that make The Week Junior magazine. You can get 6 free issues of The Week Junior or 3 issues of The Week Junior Science and Nature for £5 by heading to thewekjunior.co.uk/podcast offer.
Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back. And bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.